This is a Defocus Media production.
Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, welcomes you to Eye Care Shenanigans, where Drs. Jeff Fardink and Daryl Glover discuss the latest in eye care trends, news, research, and more.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and I'm here with the man of the hour, the man that has all the knowledge and all the news, and the man that's all about Eye Care Shenanigans, my friend, my brother, Dr. Jeffrey Fardink. How you doing today, my friend?
I am happy to be here, as always, ready to talk about some great hot takes in the world of optometry here, Dr. Glover.
Hey, man, you know, we drop this segment every month, and it's all about bringing amazing topics, great research, refractive news in a fun and digestible way, and cause a lot of shenanigans more than anything, right?
That's right.
So what's up, man? It's been a month since we chatted, man. What's going on with you and the family? How's everyone doing?
Family's doing great, getting ready to travel for the 4th of July. Practice is going well. I'm bringing in optometric aesthetics with this IPL device I just got. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff in the office. I'm really excited about that. So I got to get myself better looking if I'm going to be doing aesthetics. The next thing I'll work on.
You're one handsome guy, so you don't need to do much work there. So you continue doing whatever you're doing because you're doing the damn thing, my friend.
Well, it's all CGI. It's all AI in the camera. That's
awesome, man. Yeah, for the holiday, man, you know, I have to work Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that Tuesday is just throwing me off a little bit,
man,
right?
Yeah.
I wish we would do is anytime the holiday falls on a Tuesday or Thursday, we should round up, right? Or round down. Yeah. If it's Tuesday, make the holiday on Monday. If the holiday is on Thursday, make it on Friday. And if it's on Wednesday, I could care less. Go Monday or Friday. But they should round up or down.
Monday and Friday if it's on Wednesday.
You, man. You got all the right answers, right?
Yeah, what's the difference? Yeah. That makes sense to me. You know, they used to do that a lot more. And then a lot of World War I veterans got mad with Veterans Day. They're like, no, it's got to be November 11th. That's the day World War I ended. Armistice Day.
Well, man, let's jump into the mix today, man. We got a lot of great topics. You know, we're going to start a new thing this week. We're going to really touch on some exciting news, but we'll jump into some exciting research and data and articles and topics. But let's take it from the top, man. Let's jump into some eye care headlines. Where are we at on the news arena, man?
You got just some quick headlines to keep everyone updated on what's going on in the world of optometry. Bausch & Lomb is launching the multifocal and the infused daily contact lens, which is exciting. The Not a Doctor bill we were talking about last week, the biggest push. Florida was really coming close. Florida, the legislature passed it, but then it was vetoed by Governor DeSantis. So that didn't make it through. And New Jersey is launching some new legislation to get laser privileges for optometrists. And Apple has just launched a new VR headset, which is exciting. I'm sure we're getting lots of questions from our patients about that. So that's all the headlines going on right now.
Yeah, man. You know, the Florida bill, I mean, that was a game changer, right? I'm so proud of all our colleagues just coming together, talking that talk, making those calls, going online, really having these conversations. That's what it's all about, man. You know, at the end of the day, we are all eye care professionals. We're one family. We got to work together to make the magic happen, you know?
I agree. And I'll tell you, a lot of states had similar legislation we talked about last time, but the Florida one was really the most heinous, in my opinion. Jeez, the bill, if you looked at the wording of it, it was it said chiropractors, podiatrists, and dentists, they can be doctors, but optometrists, no more. That's where we're drawing the line.
Well, you know, the deal is this. I mean, everyone knows that we have, you know, fantastic education. We know everything about the body because the eyes lead to everything within the body, right? I mean, it's the first place you see live blood vessels, so we can determine a lot that's going on. So people just kind of fear the profession because, you know, they know we can, you know, do a lot of things there, right? And they're worried about where we go with our scope. But, you know, as eye care professionals, we're always going to do what's right. We're going to have the right education. We're going to have the right skills. We're not going to just jump into something and not do something that we have no knowledge or education about. So again, shout out to all the ODs, all the eye care professionals, the whole professions for really making those calls and making those changes there.
For sure.
Man, Apple. Wow. I got Apple stock. I don't know about you, man, but I love some Apple in my house. I got everything from the watch, the phone, the desktop, MacBooks, tons of iPads. Yeah. We love Apple in my house. So this VR headset, man, this is a game changer. I'm curious to know, when folks come into your practice, what kind of conversation do you have with these VR headsets? Because I know this is going to start, you know, populating more in our offices. Are you having any conversations in regards to binocular vision, headache, warnings, dry eyes? What kind of conversation or dialogue are you having? So when these patients come in, we're able to better answer their questions and educate them better.
Well, more than anything else, just educating patients about how to use them properly. I've had a lot of patients confused, thinking that it's kind of, you know, it's near work to have the thing on, but it's really not, because they're focused for the distance. They've got some distance, you know, plus lenses in there to make it so it's like your distance refractive error. So, you know, if you're nearsighted, you have to have your glasses on. So I have a lot of encouraging patients to go into contact lenses if they're going to be big headset wearers, because wearing glasses is very uncomfortable with those.
Nice.
Just encouraging patients to do that. It's a lot like, too, I don't know about where you are, but here in Virginia at the DMV, whenever they do the eye test and these screening devices where you stick your head into the device.
Yeah.
And I always have patients not realize that you got to leave your glasses on for that. It's not close. You don't put your reading glasses on. That's distance. So
right.
More education than anything else.
Education. That's always the theme, man. You're always dropping those gems, and that's something we got to live by for sure. Mm-hmm. But exciting news. Can't wait to see what Apple does with this VR headset. I need to see that price drop down a little bit if we're going to get more sales of that, right? But I can't wait for the first patient to come into my office with that headset to show me and, you know, see where the magic takes place. But I'm definitely going to do some research and some more reading on it, and I appreciate those tips and advice.
Yeah, a buddy of mine's been an engineer at Apple for a long time. I'm going out to see him in San Francisco later this year. So really just an excuse to play with his headset. So we'll see.
Awesome, man. Let's jump into the topics, man. First topic up is chemical talk, baby. Let's talk about it, my friend.
this is a big one. So there was a group called Momovation, which does a lot of like consumer reports, consumer testing, looking into see if these products that we're all using every day are healthy for us. And they sent a lot of contact lenses out from some major manufacturers to be tested in a laboratory. And came back finding that a lot of them tested positive potentially for PFAS, these perfluoral forever chemicals that contain fluorine. And they tested three main brands, Alcon, Cooper Vision, and J&J. They didn't test B&L. I was curious why, but reading the article, it looks like one of their users must be a tech or something in an office, and she just sent trials in for them. And probably just don't have B&L in that office is my guess. So that's, I guess that's why.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, so these chemicals, we know they're hazardous. We know that they are problematic, but I think it's a big leap to say that the contact lenses are not safe because they might contain these chemicals. I need to know more. Are these chemicals leaching out? Are they being absorbed by the eye? You know, they make a statement in the article that they're found at much higher order of magnitude here in contact lenses than is known to be safe in drinking water, but we're not eating contact lenses. So
right. That's really, you know, some folks, my friend, like to put them in their mouth to re-wet them and then drop them back in their eyes. So
for
they
sure.
may not be eating them, but some folks semi-digest them. Right.
That's a good point. Well, I'm in the camp here with the contact lens manufacturers, Alcon and Cooper Vision both released statements saying that, you know, their manufacturing processes often don't contain fluorine, and they want to know more about these studies because, you know, we know contact lenses to be safe. We're not seeing issues related to these chemicals in the eye. I mean, it's not to say that doesn't happen, but I'm very skeptical about this really being problematic, you know?
Yeah. My colleague, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, she actually put a post out on Instagram about this not too long ago. She likes to get into the weeds of these things and really do the digging. And she brought up some great points. So if you guys are watching or listening, go check out Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, Eyedolatry, on Instagram, and a lot of great information. She's a rock star. She loves contacts. She loves dry eyes. She is the co-founder of Defocus Media, just always dropping some gems. So make sure you check it out. But interesting. I'm curious to see where this is going to go or if this is going to lose some steam, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth looking into. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, made up or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, we know contact lenses. We know how safe they are. We know where contact lenses are risky and what risk factors they have, you know, overwearing and things like that. Those can be problematic for the eye.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're just not seeing toxic reactions from contact lens wear. So I'm not too concerned about this.
Yeah. You know, speaking of contacts, I actually just want to give a shout out to those three manufacturers that you mentioned, JJV, Cooper Vision, and Alcon. you know, I'm super excited to be able to practice during this time in life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at the products that each one of these companies provide or produces, they really have created, you know, solutions for patients that walk through our office, right? Our offices. Yeah. I mean, when I look at JJV, I love that Max Multifocal, right? It's a game changer in my practice. I've said that a million times in my practice. When I look at dailies, I am in love with Alcon Precision One Day. That lens has changed my practice drastically. I mean, tremendously. My patients love that water gradient technology. You're talking about next level. They have completely done the damn thing with that mm-hmm. lens. And with Cooper Vision, man, this MiSight FDA approved, and then having so many parameters to accommodate any patient that walks into your practice, it's a game changer. For all my young docs that are out there, know that there are different solutions for different patients. Really look at the entire portfolio of all the contacts that are in front of you and find the right solution, right? I mean, yes, you could be loyal to one brand and those brands can give you the solutions for everything, but you really got to study that patient in front of you. You really got to understand what's going on. But I just went to the AOA and I saw all these different contact lens companies out there, and I just had to give a shout out to everyone out there because they're making our lives easier in the exam lane.
I couldn't agree more. And I definitely have my favorites when it comes to contact lenses, but I love to use all the tools that are in our portfolio. I've driven some of the doctors nuts that I work with because I really like to use, I like all of them. I want to have all of the fit sets.
Yeah.
The offices I work in are just cluttered messes because I want all those fit sets there. I need to have all my toys.
100%. Well, let's move on to the next topic, man. We got a segment that you came up with, Jeff, that I really love, man. So we're going to go ahead and make the magic happen. Let's jump into this next segment here, if you don't mind, my friend.
I'm excited.
It's time for Back to the Four-Opter, where we bring you the latest action in the science of refraction.
Love it.
I love it, man. So if you don't mind, Jeff, man, kind of break down this segment here.
Sure. So refraction, that's what we do. We're our optometrists. We measure the eye. I always like to find some news out there that has to do with not just the health of the eye, but also has to do with refraction. You know, the main thing that we do in our offices, help our patients see their best by giving them optical aids. So yeah. This week, I'm back to the Four-Opter, where we tell you all about the latest action in the science of refraction. We have a great article here about Fuchs dystrophy. I love the so with the headline here. So Fuchs, there we go. That's what I was looking for. Fuchs, right. So Fuchs, of course, as we know, patients are waking up in the morning. They're not seeing as well in the morning because their corneas are more edematous. Their vision's more cloudy. But on top of that, it turns out that their refractive error actually fluctuates throughout the day. I was not aware of this. So a study was done here. Patients were refracted toward the end of the day, both with an autorefractor and then using conventional subjective refraction. And then they were taken to a hospital setting where they spent the night. And then immediately upon awakening, immediately upon opening their eyes, they were then refracted again subjectively and with an autorefractor. And then a small group of a subsection of patients was then taken for the next 2 hours and refracted every half hour for the next 2 hours. And just to see kind of what refractive shifts there were. And there were refractive shifts. Reassuringly, in the healthy control group, the patients that do not have Fuchs dystrophy, there were no significant changes in refraction throughout the day. So this refraction very stable there. But in the Fuchs patients, the refraction did vary by up to a diopter in some
wow.
patients. It was less than half a diopter in about most of the patients. But in 30% of the patients, it was at least half to one diopter of a shift. So that's significant.
That's significant. I mean, when you think about just lifestyle, sitting in front of the monitor, if you're a driver, I mean, those things can really impact how well you function day to day.
Absolutely. It absolutely can. Yeah. So, you know, when you got your Fuchs patients, you always want to educate them that as their eye gets drier, as their cornea gets less swollen, of course, they're going to be able to see better. Their best correctable vision is going to improve as their cornea clears out. But on top of that, their vision actually is shifting in their glasses. I don't think it's not necessary here to give your patients, you know, I just woke up glasses. I think that'd be a bit of overkill for most of the patients there, especially because their best correctable vision is pretty poor anyway. But just to reassure them that not only is your best possible acuity limited in the morning, but your acuity with your glasses on is not going to be as good because they're not as accurate for you in the morning. So just good to know these things and educate our patients.
So what do you think about the treatment, man? I remember reading Will's Eye and reading, I believe it was Will's Eye, where it stated taking a hair dryer, blow whatever dryer and pointing it towards your face to try to, I guess, dehydrate the cornea for the most part. I mean, I think that's crazy as hell, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure there are people out there that's doing it, and maybe there's some seasoned ODs that still believe in that. What is typically your conversation when you have Fuchs walk through your door?
Well, crazy ODs that recommend that include me in the group. So I just had a patient the other day. I was educating about Fuchs. I don't know how seasoned I am. I'm seasoned like a nice piece of turkey, I guess.
You're a little early, man. A little early for the turkey, my friend.
It is a little early. I do. I recommend that. I'll tell my patients that certainly we don't want to do anything that's going to potentially, you know, damage their eyes, but they might find, I do recommend to my Fuchs patients, I tell them exactly what's going on. I tell them the etiology, how their eyes are becoming edematous, what's going on here, and how opening their eye in the morning lets the cornea dry out. And I do tell them, you may want to try kind of looking into a fan for 5 or 10 minutes in the morning and see if that helps. And I do recommend that to all of my patients, not the hair dryer, but I do say kind of look into a fan for 5 or 10 minutes and see if that makes your acuity better faster. And I had a lady just yesterday, actually, who came in with a diagnosis of Fuchs, and she was just terrified. You know, people don't understand their vision. You know, she was just concerned that I'm going to go blind. You know, I'm going to not be able to read. I'm going to lose my vision and go blind. And so I had a long talk with her about what Fuchs dystrophy is, what the vision changes that happen with it are. And she left, you know, really much more assured and confident and felt much better when she left, because she knew that, it's not fun to have Fuchs, but she's not going to, you know, it's not going to be, the lights aren't going to go out for her. So she was really happy to hear that. And I'll tell you, too, the treatments out there, this DSEC, it's crazy how much DSEC is better than a decimate stripping endothelial keratoplasty. It's so much gentler of a procedure than a penetrating keratoplasty. And I was at a talk recently where there was a patient who had a DSEC, but it dehissed. It didn't stay stuck to the back of the cornea. And she was a really non-compliant patient. She didn't want to have the surgery to fix it, but they just monitored her. And I'll tell you what, even though that graft came off of her endothelium, what happened is the pumps, the donor cells actually migrated onto her cornea, and it worked anyway. So that's just crazy to me. There could be a new procedure coming out maybe where they're just kind of injecting a slurry of the cells into the anterior chamber maybe, and that could be even easier. So really exciting.
Well, you know, we always find out new tech or new innovation or new techniques of doing things by accidents, right?
Yes, so that's right.
It might be a game changer there for us for sure, man. But I appreciate you sharing that story. I appreciate you sharing that topic. I'm just always amazed and always thankful that, you know, patients come to us and we're able to take care of their eye care needs. I mean, people literally come in there terrified, right?
Absolutely.
You can see it by the way they move, their mannerisms, their tone. They're scared as hell, man. But it's up to us to make them feel comfortable and have that conversation and put them at ease. We do some amazing things in that exam lane, and that's one reason why I love optometry, man. This profession was built for me, no doubt about it.
Same here. Yeah. You and me both, brother. Yeah, vision is very confusing, and as experts in vision, we can forget that. So it's important to really educate our patients about, you know, what's going on with their eyes.
You got it. Let's move on to the next one, man. This was a great topic, and I love this segment. And for those that are just listening to this, I need you to go to the YouTube channel, because Dr. Jeff, man, he got this amazing photo of him and myself where it says back to the Phoropter, and it looks kind of like Back to the Future. And we're looking at our watches and we're just making the magic happen. We got, what is that? The DeLorean? Is that what they call it?
That old, heck yeah, I got that DeLorean there,
man. So, and you know what? He has hair. I don't have any hair. I was hoping you would give me some hair in the picture, man, but I'll take what I have. All right.
But you know, the traveling through time, it can be rough on the follicles there, man. Don't worry about it.
Very true, right? Yeah. Hey, at least I got my beard still, man.
It's looking good there, too. Look, as soon as I pay down my student loans here, I'll come pick you up in my DeLorean after it's my first purchase after that.
I love it. Funny story about my beard. I don't know if I ever share this with you, but I'll share it with you today. When I was younger, I didn't really have a full beard. It was light. Sometimes I'll do like a gold tee, right? Mm-hmm. But as I got older, my wife was like, man, you look great with your beard. And she told me if I ever come home without it, I could never come back into the house. But apparently I have a weak chin, right? My chin is horrible. So, you know, Jeff, I was looking through some of my pictures from when I was in high school, middle school, early years of college. And yeah, man, she was right. My chin is weak as hell, man. I need to have a beard or I'm gonna look crazy as hell, my friend. So beard gang till I die. You know what I'm saying?
You're looking good, man. I never would have guessed a weak chin there. You got a strong face now.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, my friend. Well, let's take it to the next one, man. That was a great topic there. The next one up is bugs and cataracts.
That's right. This one might be a little bit alarming to some of our patients here. So it's looking at Demodex blepharitis in cataract patients. And basically, you know, I've had a lot of cataract patients come in and talk to me saying that after cataract surgery, they're happy with their vision. They can see so much better.
Yeah.
But, you know, 1, 2, 3 months down the line, feeling that their eyes are drier and less comfortable. And I've had this happen quite a bit and often kind of wondered, you know, what are some of the reasons for that? And this study identified that Demodex blepharitis tends to increase, become more common after cataract surgery. So patients were tested for Demodex before cataract surgery. Their lids, they had some lashes epilated, sent to a lab for testing. And about 22% of the patients were found to have Demodex prior to cataract surgery. Then they repeated the same test a month after cataract surgery. And now 33% of the patients had Demodex mites. That's an increase. And, you know, what's causing this? Is it the steroid drop usage? I don't know. But
that's a great question.
Yeah, but it's apparently higher after cataract surgery for whatever reason. And, of course, the blepharitis they're having might not be directly linked to the Demodex, their dry eye concerns, but, you know, it's a thing. So worth knowing.
So I wonder, and this is like, I know this data is coming out perfect timing with Tarsus Pharmaceuticals with the drug that they have coming out. I wonder if we're going to start seeing that drug being prescribed for all patients that have cataract surgery. Imagine what that would do to that organization if they can make that a part of the protocol. That is a game changer, right?
It makes sense to me. I mean, why do we give patients antibiotics for cataract surgery? It's not because they have an infection. It's prophylactic, right?
Right.
And prophylactic tarsus. I'm with it. I'm on board.
Hey, my man Arthur, check it out, man. I know you're watching the podcast. We just put you on some game. Let's go ahead and connect and make the magic happen, baby. But that would be fantastic for our patients, being that we are seeing that data that's out there.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. We got one more up, man. Strabismic twins. What is that about? Because
this one was very interesting to me. So a lot
this
of
blew children, my mind.
Yeah, it really blew my mind too. And I got a good buddy of mine, went to optometry school with him. He had a pair of twins right after school, and both of them, you know, born with strabismus and amblyopia, had to have a strabismus surgery. But anyway, just a big study here. Lots of kids analyzed, both identical twins and you know, fraternal twins were in the study, and also a big group of control, just a bunch of children that aren't twins. And they looked at rates of strabismus, amblyopia, and refractive error in these kids. And they found that strabismus and amblyopia was significantly higher in the twin group, both identical and fraternal twins. And that's interesting. It wasn't just amblyopia. There was more results of retinopathy of prematurity, strabismus, and amblyopia in the twin groups. And they're linking this to potentially lower birth weight, the fact that these twins often are born, you know, in a lower gestational term. So that's what they're thinking the cause is here. But it's interesting to know that. It makes sense in the patients I've seen.
Yeah, man, look, data, research, game changing. The question I have for all my colleagues out there listening and watching this is, what are you going to do with this information? Are you taking this information and implementing new protocols or strategies within your office? Our patients are looking for us to be able to find the right solutions for them when they're in the office. Use this information. Listen to Eye Care Shenanigans. Yes, we have fun, but Dr. Jeffrey Farting drops a lot of great gems, a lot of great practice management tips. So make sure you tune in every week and watch it over and over. We drop it every month, but you can watch it weekly or daily if you want. But a lot of great information here, man.
These are fantastic
topics, my friend.
And yeah, what can we do differently with our patients? Well, you know, whenever you've got a patient who's pregnant or looking to have children, of course, I always recommend the importance of exams, eye care exams for their children. But if they are, you know, having twins, I would stress even more the importance of early exams in those children, because amblyopia, that's something you catch it early and it's very treatable.
So, Life changing.
So good reason to, you know, have those kids in early.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, man, this has been fantastic. Another amazing show with my brother from another mother. I appreciate you always providing these excellent topics, but also just bringing it down to, you know, layman's terms and making it more easier to digest the material more than anything. I'm super excited, and I can't wait till next month, man.
Me too. I it's the highlight of my month is doing this, and I have to bring it down in layman's terms so that I understand it. So don't worry.
Well, hey, man, I want to give you a shout out. All right. Next, for those that may not know, Dr. Jeff and I, we've been doing this for probably about what, like 5-6 months now. Mm-hmm. We were taking it for a spin, and you know, this is a show that will be on Defocus Media moving forward forever, right? Yeah. Eye Care Shenanigans, baby. We are looking for partners. Feel free to reach out to myself, Daryl Glover at defocusmedia@gmail.com. We're going to continue to bring this amazing information in a fun and exciting way. Make sure you share, follow us on YouTube at Defocus Media, and let's continue making the magic happen, baby. Thank you again so much, Jeff, man. This has been fantastic, my friend.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Excellent. Stay healthy, positive, and blessed. Peace, you guys.
Thank you for listening to Eye Care Shenanigans. Big thanks from Drs. Daryl Glover, Jeff Fardink, and the whole team here at Defocus Media. Follow us on social media where our handle is Defocus Media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Remember, even if you're not easy